I'm wonderful. Hello, Dolores. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. All right, so let's get ready to rock and roll here. And I hope you were able to absorb all of the information I threw at you in one day. So today what I want to do is start with what's on your mind about what we covered last time.
Okay.
Anything that might be on your mind. And then we'll get into the new material. So first of all, any questions, comments about what you went through on the first call and how you felt that went for you?
Yeah, I think as far as everything went very well, okay. You know, what I was able to really work through, you know, a lot of the topics and things that I needed to go through. A couple of questions that I did have was on the 12-4-2.
Sure.
When we're having those conversations and there's a couple,
okay,
and it's during those calls.
Okay.
And one of them is, say, a business owner, an executive, and they're at work and the spouse or significant other is at home.
Right.
How do we have, I mean, with Zoom, I think makes it a lot easier. But in that instance, I mean, would we have a three-way call or what would we do in that instance?
Yeah, you could have a three-way call. That's a possibility. But more importantly, on the telephonic calls or meetings, does that particular client, do they tend to meet as a couple and both be involved, or is there a one decision maker that makes the call? Now, I'll say two things. If there's one primary decision maker and for whatever reason something happens to that decision maker, if you haven't had a relationship with the other one, the potential to lose the relationship exists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they may be in the background feeling that, you know, the guy, you know, we've been working together. He always talks to my husband, but you know, I feel a little left out. I feel disrespected. I feel like I'm not involved. And so, you know, you have to make that determination, and just ask the question, to both of them. You know, do you both want to be on that call, when we have them? Or is there the primary decision maker that, you know, handles that? So we're happy to have you both on the call. We just need to know. Okay. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. What's your next thought or question?
With those calls as well, and we have that 24-month calendar.
Right.
And it looks like the goal would be for all clients to basically be on the same thing. So each month, you know, if I need to study up on a specific topic to make sure I'm
right
at the best level I need to be for that conversation, everybody's on the same page. Go ahead.
Let's deal with that real quick and then you add on.
Okay.
But that is so important because when you have to gear up and go from insurance, let me see, get my brochures out, get my talking points ready, and then end that call and then get on another one and jump to mortgages and let me make sure I'm covering everything I need to cover as far as that's concerned. And, let me get into my economic overview. When you're bouncing around like that, it isn't as well ordered for you and your benefit. So having some structure where you're batch processing out those calls. Now, everybody's not going to buy from you when you present a topic educational in nature or what have you. But what'll happen when we get to the referral process and client acquisition, we want these folks to say, I like working with Mr. Peterman because he's got fresh ideas, new concepts. He takes the time to educate us even on those areas that we might not have an immediate need. So that's the rationale for that. So Great question. Now, I interrupted you, so I wanted you to finish the second part of that question.
Okay, and then the second part would be, so 6 months from now, when a client is referred, we bring that client on. Does that client go back to the beginning, month one, or they would kind of hop into month six like every other client?
Okay, so in terms of topics?
Yes.
Yeah, in terms of topics, yes. Now, you know, you're going to profile all your clients. You're going to do a financial plan with them. And there may be in a plan where maybe sometimes you're leading with portfolio management strategies. But for this client, getting the trust, getting something done for the kids is the lead topic.
Okay.
So what you have to do is you got to deal with the lead topic. You know, right. It's kind of like, look, I've got an agenda, you know, but before I get started, I want to talk about the things that are most on your mind. And if that client says, well, you know, we've been talking a lot and we've got to get a trust going on and get organized in that regard. Well, you don't ignore that and say, well, that's fine. I want to deal with portfolio management. No, you're going to have to deal with the topic that they're interested in.
Got it. Okay.
So great question.
And then the last question that I have is with the financial plans with current clients. So there's a handful, quite a few clients that I want them to have a better financial plan than we already have. It's just kind of a basic. And so how do I, you know, with roughly, let's say, 75 clients out of those 100, how do we implement putting in place 75 financial plans in the midst of everything else?
Okay. So one of the things that you might do is you're going to get your clients on a regular call schedule, okay? And remember, they're going to receive notification of the time and the date of the call, okay, at least a week in advance, 3 days, you know, in advance. And after each call, you're going to do an executive summary, which is going to say, this is what we discussed. This is what we agreed to. These are the next steps. Now, if you have clients where that next step is it's time to upgrade our financial plan, now you've got the topic for discussion on the next call for those clients. All right. Now, if you, I don't know what kind of effort you're going to put into this in terms of contacts per day, but it's labor intensive, but if you're talking to 4 clients a day, okay, that's 20 per week. That means you can get to, in a 4-week time frame, 80 relationships in a month. Okay? 5-week month, you know, more, but around 80 relationships. So you're going to be able to circle with every client. And you might say something like, you know, Mr. Smith, it occurred to me that the financial plan that we originally set out to do is getting a bit dated. You know, I want to upgrade your plan to whatever the name that you call it, our lifestyle planning concept.
Okay.
And make sure that I cover all the bases with you. So on our next call, I'm going to need to gather some additional information that we don't have from you, and I need to know what's changed. Now, when you do client reviews, that is the perfect time to say, look, I have an agenda, and we want to do a review. But one of the things I want to make sure, has anything changed? Has your job changed? You know, bonuses. Go through the checklist to determine what may have changed. Because, you know, clients, I mean, there's new births. You know, they got new babies. There's grandkids. There's marriages. There's all kinds of things that are in motion. And what that's one of the reasons why you want to do a review 4 times a year. 2 of them being in person and 2 of them being telephonic, is to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks. And so if you need to upgrade or update your financial plan for the client, perfect time to do it.
Okay.
All right. Remember, with 80 people and 4 opportunities in a course of a year, you're going to be able to get to them all with ease. Okay. But excellent, excellent question. Make sense?
Yes. Yep. It does.
Okay. Other questions or concerns, Justin?
Nothing on my end. Dolores, I don't know if you have anything, but I'm
okay. Hello, Dolores.
Hi. I don't have anything offhand. Justin and I, Curtis, have been working, you know, pretty closely this past week, wrapping our heads around how we want to go forward with this, going over some of the scripts, kind of maneuvering them and tweaking them to our liking.
Right.
We've kind of massaged that. I think it's just kind of looking at our clients and knowing what we need to do moving forward, that we're both on the same page, Curtis.
Sure.
Was a big step for us, I think, that we're both on the same playing field on it. So
right.
I'm here to support Justin on how he wants to move forward with this. And right now we're making some really good steps to get there. Mentally, we're really, you know, moving the needle forward with our thinking on this. So I think it's just a matter of really getting into it and getting involved in it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep in mind, you only had one session. So I think you're doing really well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look.
Today, and it is on the forefront on how we're really going to change things up with him and I working together and with our clients.
Okay. Good. All right. So, what we're doing here is we're developing this concierge practice. It's kind of like, the American Express card. You know, you've gone from a green card to platinum. And that's what we're doing. So let's take, I'm going to say 5 minutes and let's go for a review before we get into the new material. So, We covered the sample screens for segmenting clients. You're going to look at production, assets, likability, trustworthy. They accept your advice. They're profitable. The opportunity for future growth. They can have the potential to be a center of influence. Some of the clients may have adult children. They don't have quite the money, but you can't get rid of them. We call those butlers. 3 butlers equal 1 household. So that's 3 butlers is 1 household that you keep. Okay. They get a 4-1 service as opposed to the 12-4-2 service. Okay. We talked about introducing the service model to your clients, which involves 12 contacts, 4 appointments with 2 of the 4 being telephonic reviews and the other 2 being in-person reviews. And they can be virtual for now, given that we have a pandemic that we're dealing with. And then there's multi-generational planning, a rapid response to client issues, and that's how we handle that. We think, just like I'm doing with you, reinforcing 12-4-2 in the service model, you're going to have to reinforce that to clients several times so that they get it. It's not going to be the one time, but just say, hey, in accordance with our new service model, you know, the 12 contacts, we've done, you know, 7 this year. And, you know, you just want to keep reminding them of your service model. So there's some sample letters introducing the new service model to clients. You can look at those. You can adjust them. There's nothing in there that really talks about investments. I don't think that you'll have a problem with client compliance approval. And then there's a sample script introducing the new service model to clients, which we have kind of gone through. Stair step to the stars. Again, we've got this baseline target that we're looking at. And then what we do is periodically during the course and scope of your activity, this could be in 6 months, you decide, oh boy, we're getting so many prospects that we're going to have to raise our minimum. So now all of a sudden now your minimum has gone from, I don't quite remember what the number is. I think it was, what, 1.5 million or something? Or a million?
That's what it was, but I looked through and I got that number wrong. So the target minimum is actually 2.1.
Okay, 2.1. Okay, fantastic. So
went up 600,000 now.
Wow, okay. All right. Now I may ask you that a couple more times because I won't probably remember that, but wow. So you go to 2.1, then, you know, you might be in a position where, okay, now I've got to go to 2.4, 2.5. That's called stair step to the stars.
Okay.
All right. So getting skinny to grow is the concept that we talked about in terms of stair step to the stars. So there's no A, B, C, D in eBooks and Supernova. Every client gets the same concierge service with the exception of your butlers. Okay. So you've established your minimum and your max. And fantastic. Any questions by way of the review that we went through?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's now go to the next phase of conversation. I want you to get comfortable with how you're going to respond to client objections about the service model. Now, objections don't necessarily mean that they don't want to do it. It may mean I need a little more clarification. I need some understanding. Okay? So don't look at when we say objection, that they're saying I don't want to do it. Okay? So why do I want appointments instead of just calling you when I need something? All right. Let's, without even reading what's in the script, let's kind of think about that, because I think it's better to reinforce it when it's intuitive for you. And if I tell you a story, it'll be more intuitive. So they say, why do I want appointments instead of just calling you when I need something? My answer to that is, why aren't you able to just pick up the phone and call your doctor? Or call your dentist, or call the lawyer, okay? Hey, or just do a drop-by. Hey, happen to be in the neighborhood, thought I'd drop by for a legal consultation. Well, you don't do that because, one, you're being respectful of their time, and number two, you want to know that they are prepared to handle your questions. And three, that they're available, that they're not in your waiting room for hours waiting to see you, okay? So you want to make it easy for them. So that's really the answer to that question. Make sense, Justin?
Yes.
Okay. Now, why do you want to meet with me once a month? I'm going to tell you another story. F.A. was talking to a client business owner on a kind of informal basis, not a regular basis. The client sold a business. It resulted in a $5 million windfall. Goldman Sachs swooped in, got the $5 million, and worked that relationship for the client. So what happens is things happen between calls. Like I said, there's marriages, there's deaths, there's medical issues, there's all kinds of things that go on. So you want to meet once a month for that reason, and you want to touch base. And the touch base calls are only 15 to 20 minutes in length. And if they're going to last longer, you ask permission. Look, you brought up some interesting thoughts. I want to spend the time with you. Is it okay if we take an additional 10 minutes on this call? Okay. So you're going to be updating information for taxes, beneficiaries, finding out more about their vision for the future. And so that's the reason why you want to have that meeting once a month. And one other reason is when you do a financial plan and you take down data and information, you're so skilled at this point, you probably know exactly what to do, what to recommend, right? Well, I want you to go back to the fact that the client is a layperson and they can't absorb the amount of information that you're putting out there. They got to take it in bites, okay, in small pieces so that they can absorb it. And so that's one of the other reasons you have a monthly meeting. You know, I've had clients tell me, I'm conservative. And what that means is, I don't know enough. I haven't studied up on this. I don't take the time, and I'm scared to death. That's what that means. And so that's the other reason why you have the monthly call. Okay. The third question or objection is, aren't we already talking more often than once a month? What you want to do is say, yes, we have been talking, but I need a targeted, well-thought-out appointment to cover some important things with you when we talk, and it's best that we have an appointment for that, okay? Fourth one, what if we don't have enough to talk about? Don't worry about that, because when you send out an executive summary, you're automatically going to have the next steps ready for the next call, okay? Because when you look at that financial plan, what ends up happening is the non-urgent items get taken care of last. So now you can do a deeper dive with that client relationship, okay? And we live in a pace now where the politics are changing. The economics are changing. I mean, when I think about 2019 and we're halfway through it, I would never have thought that 30 million Americans would be on unemployment insurance. Okay? I mean, who would have thought that? And so have a couple of the buzz things that go on that you can reference when you're addressing that question, we don't have enough to talk about. And the next one is, what if I can't make the call? Okay, let's handle this one in two ways, okay? One way is you've got an appointment set up, they've received the notice, and they didn't show up. You're going to put a phone call in and say, Mr. Smith, so sorry that you missed the call today. I hope it was an emergency and everything is okay. At your convenience, give me a call and we'll reschedule, or otherwise we'll handle this call at our appropriate time next month. Okay. And sometimes you're going to be on vacation, but remember, even your vacations get scheduled. Your time off gets scheduled. Okay. And if we can't make it, I'll have my assistant, Dolores, call you to check in and talk to you the following month. All right. And if it's time for your quarterly review, we'll reschedule. All right. All right. Now, any questions on how you might handle client questions and objections, Justin?
No, pretty. I mean, I've told now three clients about this process, and they've been, you know, asked some questions and things, but they've been excited and had no real objections about it. So,
very good.
Yeah,
very good. So now, let's spend some time talking about niche markets. I'm going to send you, after the call today, I'm going to send you an article on niche markets. And
you might have sent that one already, or is it a different one?
Well, maybe I did. It's financial advisors. What are the pain points in your niche market? I may have them.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, great. So, what you want to know about niche markets is there's your organic niche market. It's kind of it's part of the relationships you came into the business with. It's kind of where your business kind of evolved to, and you're comfortable with that market. You know it. You understand it. So that's one. And the second one is this market that you are targeting. You're trying to grow it. You're trying to develop it. So tell me a little bit about your practice and the kind of niche markets that you're focused on right now.
So the ones that have just kind of organically happened is women that are single, widowed, or divorced that are roughly 50 to 75 years old.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, you know, there was just one in yesterday, and, you know, as soon as she left, Dolores and I were chatting about it. It was, I mean, we could just on both left hand, right hand, for hands, we could just name off all of the women clients that are in that situation.
Okay.
So, that's just something that just kind of happened there. And then, We Energies. And so, it's not executives that are We Energies. It's blue collar individuals that are at We Energies that have saved and done very, very well for themselves.
Okay.
The millionaire next door, or the millionaire next door. And so those two there, and then there's another packaging facility that's pretty close, Great Northern Corporation, but they're kind of on the lower end of that ideal client, about, you know, 500,000.
Okay.
Is kind of that. But those three primarily are the three niches that just kind of happened.
Okay. Good. All right. And the one thing that I like to explain to people, and that was the rationale for the article that I wrote, which isn't in the Supernova materials, so that's why I wrote it. But what it is it's like where you're concentrating your efforts on the specific needs of a segment or subset of the population. Now, with your experience working with widows and single women, you have had to develop some sensitivity to them. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what makes you so good at it. But you've uncovered the pain points of that market. You understand, well, maybe daddy used to handle all of those things. Maybe the husband used to handle all those things. But now you're getting them into the mode where they can be smart, they can be bright and energetic around their personal affairs. And so that's one of the reasons. So you understand the pain points in that market. And by the way, I'll point out, in the book I wrote, women control $11.2 trillion in assets and nonprofit kind of arrangements. They do more volunteerism than any other group. So they can make outstanding clients. All right. So that's what you need to know. You're concentrating your market efforts on the specific needs of a segment. Now, and so you have we energies. Now, what I am suggesting now when you tackle a niche market, so let's use me as an example. My market is financial advisors and managers. So I've got to read what they read. So it's Investment News Daily. It's Trust Advisor. It's Financial Planning Magazine online. It's Advisor Hub. And I'm reading all these trade journals so that I can be an expert in that market. So you've got to be the same. So on We Energies, you've got to be the expert. You got to go on the internet. You got to figure out what that company is doing, what their strategies are. You got to, you know, get a lead in to HR, get an appointment with those folks and talk about your expertise and your understanding of that company and how you're helping to shape the investment strategies of many of those individuals. So, you know, in New Jersey, you know, I'm talking to folks that are focusing on J&J and Bristol Myers because they're headquartered there. You know, you go down to Columbus, it's, there was a guy that focused on, Procter and Gamble. Okay. So a lot of the Midwest has a lot of brand management companies. I don't know if there's any in your market or not. So what you want to do is discover what are the pain points in the markets you're going after. Okay. So you've got two, you stay with them, and then maybe you look at adding one, possibly two more. Okay. So think about that. All right. And that article is saying, for example, if it's business owners, what are their issues? Cash flow management, the retention of key employees, 401ks. So you are now going to take yourself to expert status in the niche markets that you deal with. So read the industry trade journals and publications. Attendance at industry-specific conferences will help you also keep up with that. You know, out here, you have, I mean, you know, all I have to do is drive down 680 and hop on 237, and I'm going to pass Google. Marvel. You know, further down is Netflix. I'll pass LinkedIn. And so if you're going to be focusing in on tech companies, then you need to be reading TechCrunch to help you with that.
Do you?
So, yeah, go ahead.
Do you have any recommend besides the industry trade things? I had mentioned attorneys, and then you had mentioned, well, what type of attorneys, or maybe it's just a specific law firm. But I looked online. Is there any books or articles that have been written specifically for advisors that are working with attorneys or attorneys and their financial plans?
You know, not really.
Okay.
You know, what I would do is look at Financial Planning Magazine database where they talk about going after niche markets like that. But since I'm in an organization where I'm surrounded by a lot of attorneys and doctors, they have similar needs, but you've got to communicate with them in a way that leads them to believe that you understand what kind of business they're in. Okay. And so, you know, you can look at some of the ABA journals for attorneys. Many of them are forming professional corporations, just like doctors. So, you know, they may have pensions and money management needs and issues that need to be taken care of. What I did is I provided a couple of links so that you could look at industry lists and find out the publications and the journals that are more appropriate for those specific niche markets.
I was able to, I saved those on my phone, so I have those up so I could.
Oh, okay, cool. But that's what you do. And one of the other things, and we're jumping ahead. I don't know. Did I send you this BIPSA referral strategy?
There was a referral.
A script.
Yes.
Perfect. Because that leads us into this next thing that we want to talk about, which is going to help answer that question. Okay. So I'm gonna fast forward for a moment, and I'm gonna go to the script to kind of answer that question. So in the beginning of the script, it says, number one, you now organized your clients, your prospects, they're on a regular call schedule. You've elevated the level of service using 12-4-2. You've got monthly client agendas now. Your clients receive an executive summary after each call. You've conducted a review, or you've done something that provides an outstanding benefit to the client. Okay? Now, I always suggest that when you are providing that outstanding benefit, don't give anonymously. Okay? If you save $5,000 in taxes, tell them what you did. Don't assume that they just kind of got that. Okay? That's what I mean by giving anonymously. So that means you've reduced taxes by a specific amount. You've created a trust to avoid probate. We protected the family against loss of the primary breadwinner. We've grown the assets through portfolio management, and we've helped to solidify retirement income in the amount of an additional $3,000 a month. So be very, very specific. And we saved thousands of dollars in interest payments by going away from non-deductible interest debt to securities-based lending. All right. So now those are just some thoughts. So now you've done that. Now you're ready to get into this referral script. We're going to revisit this, but I just want you to see and understand what's possible. So you're going to say to Mary Smith, I'd like to ask if there's anything else that you and your family values in the relationship and working with us and the service we provide. What do you want to listen for? What do you want to hear? You want to hear, we love the frequency of contact. You're sensitive to the needs of our family. These monthly calls have really educated us in terms of the investment world. Your service is outstanding. Your problem-solving ability is fantastic. You're a great listener. I like your organization. I like your team. And Dolores is terrific. So keep her around for a long time. Okay. So you got that part of the script. So the B part in BIPSA, B-I-P-S-A, stands for what do you value in the relationship? The I in BIPSA is important. And you're going to ask, well, what else might be important to you? You want to make sure you're getting everything that you need to get from them. And they're going to say, well, what do you mean? Well, we just want to make sure that we constantly fine-tune our service and capabilities for you, if that's okay. All right. So the I is important. Then we're going to get to the P, which is permission. With your permission, I'd like to briefly brainstorm with you. We're always looking for good clients that we'd like to work with, that would like to work with our team. Are we at a point in our relationship that you can enthusiastically endorse us? Okay. Now let me explain our introductions process. This is key. One of the reluctance that clients have in making referrals is they want to know confidentiality. They want to know that you're going to really take care of them. So you're going to explain what you do. And basically, it's a meeting over coffee, breakfast, or lunch. And in this world, it's virtual. You would bring the individual with you and make the introduction. So, important point here, Justin, that you don't accept, here's a phone number, go call this person. Here's a business card, go call this person. Every referral has to be part of a personal introduction. They bring them to the meeting with you. Okay? So you find out a little bit about them. We explain who we are and what we do. And at the end of the meeting, we determine if a one-on-one follow-up meeting with just the potential client is warranted. All right. And that's it. No pressure. If there's a follow-up meeting, we explain the 90-day free look. Now, what's involved in the 90-day free look? This is when we give the potential client an opportunity to be treated as if they were an actual client and they're placed on our schedule for contact and follow-up. So this is how you get your prospects into the schedule. Okay? And you're going to treat them for up to 90 days. That doesn't mean you can't close them in a week or 2 weeks, but you're going to give some of the harder-to-reach folks up to 90 days to be treated like a client so that they can see your service. They may be dealing with somebody at Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley or somebody else, but now you're going to treat them as if they were a client. Prior to the end of the 90-day period, they make the decision if they'd like to work with us. So you get to use this little portion of this script right then and there or later. Then you're going to say, who in your network of family, friends, neighbors, church members or business associates that might welcome a personal introduction. Because what people typically say is, I can't think of anybody. So you want to help them out in your network of family, friends, neighbors, church members, or business associates that might welcome a personal introduction. And how would you suggest we meet him or her? Okay, so now we're getting to that question with that lawyer, right? So you got that one lawyer, and you're trying to figure out how to best work with lawyers. So I'd like to get your advice on the best way to work with the legal profession. How would you suggest we go about it? Or it could be the medical profession. I'd like to get your advice on how to work with other doctors. And how would you suggest we meet with Dr. Newsom? Okay. Then you're going to close. So the last word in BPSA is advice. So the S part in BPSA is suggest, and the last part is advice. And you're going to close. How would you, I would appreciate, I appreciate you and the time given us today. I look forward to the next call. Thanks for arranging the meeting with Mr. Newsom. Or I look forward to our next call. Okay. Now, to help you, we're going to be covering, the enthusiastically endorsed model, not particularly on this session, but on subsequent sessions, we'll get into that. All right. The last thing I want to cover today. So first of all, before I jump to the next thing, did I answer your question about how you use an attorney or a doctor to get more attorneys and doctors?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. Are you with me so far, Dolores?
I am with you.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about centers of influence that might be inside a potential niche. Now, the criteria for somebody to be a center of influence for you is they like you. They're easy to deal with. They understand risk. They're used to making decisions. They take your advice. They meet your minimum standards. That's one type of center of influence. Okay. And so they may be inside the niche market that you're working with. So, you know, you've heard the old adage, birds of a feather flock together. So the chances of Mrs. Jones, who you're working with, knowing, you know, someone in similar circumstances are pretty great.
Right.
Okay. And then I've given you the BPSA script. So, you know, how would you think how would you suggest I go about meeting her? You know, use the script. So, centers of influence outside of the niche that you deal with, these are people that you want to have. So, you know, I've coached someone who did some volunteer work for the United States Tennis Association, and they sat on the board. And the president in town has got a fantastic Rolodex. And we coach them on establishing a relationship with that president and using them as a center of influence to get personal introductions to other folks and other board members. That's simply it. That's what you want to do. So a good COI can provide you with 12 referral names per year. We're going to recommend that you identify 6 centers of influence. Okay. And what you do is you educate the COI on your business concept, your service model, Supernova. And what I've encouraged FAs to say is, don't say, I want to educate you on Supernova. I want to educate you on our enhanced concierge service capability. Okay? Use some term like that. Okay. And so once you educate them on your premium service and your minimum asset standards, you've now branded yourself completely and totally different. Okay? So you're going to do your research, and the best COIs are individuals you've known for a while. You've got mutual respect. So it could be through involvement in a nonprofit. It could be one of your existing clients. But these folks are surrounded by lots of people. Okay. So 6 centers of influence per financial advisor. So if you ever get to a point where you're adding another team member, that team member would be responsible for also having 6 centers of influence. So your natural COIs are people that like you and trust you, and they send you introductions without even asking. And then your professional COIs are professional service advisors. And we have this concept called enthusiastic endorsed providers. We'll get into that later. But you'll be going in and just asking, you know, who does your taxes? Can you enthusiastically endorse them? Who does your estate planning and trust work? Can you enthusiastically endorse them? And what's going to happen is there's going to be some common themes of names that come up. Those are the common themes of people that you want to be introduced to, because they have the potential to be COIs. Okay. And we're going to coach you on how to deal with that. So what is the COI looking for in you? They're looking for consistency. So now you've got your service model. That's consistent. Consensus. Do you work with your clients to develop a financial plan? Yes, you've got that. Authority. Is your reputation stellar in the community? Are you considering an expert in your niche? And you already started doing that. If you've chosen the right COI, you'll have commonality with them. I encourage some type of engagement with the COI once a month. It could be, you know, we're dealing with the pandemic, but, you know, it's a Zoom call. But later, it could be a breakfast, a lunch, or a dinner. Reciprocity. If they're professionals, are you willing to give them a referral name as well? And scarcity. Is your practice unique that limits the number of clients? And so clients see, wow, it's, if you're working with Justin Peterman, that's a big deal, because he only works with a limited number of relationships. Okay. So that's how you're establishing your Supernova brand. Okay. So we're moving you toward more in control of your brand. Now, any questions about what I've covered? I think I've covered a lot. And any questions about any of this? For you, Justin, and then Dolores?
No, I think I just need to decompress and go through everything kind of methodically. And
Practice, drill, rehearse. Do it with your wife or a friend, you know, or Dolores. Just articulate that new value prop that you have. Okay. So your assignment for week two, you've partially already done that. You've got and adjusted your absolute and your target minimum and maximum. You're now starting to put segmentation to work and communicating with clients, getting the screens down. You've identified your ideal client last week using the criteria based on the 80-20 rule. You're determining your top 30 households. Take those top 30 and identify where they fall in terms of niche markets. What do they have in common? Where do they come from? You know, can anyone become a COI? After determining your niche markets, you want to identify six potential centers of influence inside each niche. Okay, but six total. Now it's time to order your folders and schedule a call with Cindy Bowie on getting trained using the scheduling tool. So you'll just send her an email and set that up. And the information is in the guidebook on who to call to get the folders. And then you'll want to watch the week three video. Okay. And Dolores, definitely be on the scheduling call. Because you're the practice manager, you're going to be kind of responsible for that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions about anything at this point? Are you keeping up with me, Justin? Am I overloading you, or are we going at the right pace?
No, we're going at the right pace. It's just now trying to, you know, the wheels are spinning inside my head. You know, I put some individuals down as, like, you know, COI and some of the board membership things that, you know, would be potential and that I am involved in the niche. So it's, things are in my head spinning, and I'm just trying to.
I know.
Work through it. So.
Well, look, this is only week two.
Right.
Okay. So you're doing a fine job. Also, on the next call, be thinking about questions that you might want to ask about anything. This is interactive. So you look at the video, you look at the guidebook, then I do my review with you, ask any questions, and then we move on to, you know, the next steps. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's the end of our call for today. You have a great rest of the week. And I look forward to our next meeting.
All right. You as well. Thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.